Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you?
Well, you'll find out at the end of this show. Welcome to another episode of That's a Freebie. This is episode number 17, titled What You Gonna Do? This week, I'm going to discuss my reluctance to spend money at the cinema. I'm going to share how I managed to drink half the Bridgewater Canal. I'll also fill you in on our recent visit to the Pumpkin Patch and how we got to have cuddles with bunnies. And I'll also tell you the story about my recent encounter with the police. And as always, I'll have my usual gripe of the week and my pick of the week. As I said last week, this week has been quite a busy week for our household. We started off on Wednesday evening after the last episode of the show was recorded. We went to go and see the new Trolls movie at the cinema. We saw Trolls Band Together. It's a Trolls movie, so, you know, this is the third one in the, I suppose you could say, trilogy now. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. Spoilers, in case you really, really want to go and see it, I am going to talk a little bit about what happens in the movie. The kids loved it. I thought that the story could use some work, and I know it's a kids' movie, but you know what? I invested my money into going to see this movie. Actually, while we're on that subject, talking about investing money, so it cost for me, my wife, and my two children to go and see it, it cost £38, which I actually don't think is that bad. It, you know, for the cinema experience, it's kind of what you're paying for. You pay for the experience of watching on the big screen with the big speakers and the comfy, well, you could argue not so comfy seats. I always have backache after I get up out of those seats. But, you know, that's the experience you pay for, backache and all. Fine with that. £38 for the tickets, not a problem. When it came to food, so we were going seeing this in the evening. I picked my wife up from work, and after I picked her up, we pretty much went straight to see the movie. I think there was an hour and a half in between, but it wasn't enough time to go and get tea, dinner, the evening meal, whatever you call it. Let's not start that debate. I have that debate with the children. I call it tea, they call it dinner. It's very confusing. So it meant that we needed food before the movie. In this case, I thought, well, during the movie, we don't normally do this, but let's get hot dogs, nachos, anything they want, we'll get it, because it's going to be their not so great evening meal, but it's going to be an evening meal. And they're obviously going to have popcorn and sweets throughout the movie. So it's not like they're going to starve or anything like that. So it turned out they didn't even want hot dogs or nachos. So I had nachos. My wife had, I actually can't even remember. I think she just had popcorn and a drink. But for everything, for the popcorn, the drink, the food that we did get. And granted, I was a bit of a pig and I had nachos and a hot dog. I don't think that's unreasonable. However, the nachos, there were a lot more than I expected them to be. So in hindsight, I didn't need the hot dog, but I made sure I ate it anyway. It cost £67 for all of it. I couldn't believe it. It cost double the amount for the food than it cost for the actual cinema tickets themselves. It was insane. Anyway, yeah, back to the movie, you know, the bit that I was actually talking about. Yeah, it had a bit of a weak story in terms of it didn't have any logical progression to the different stages of the story. It basically started with a wedding, which is fine. Not Poppy and Branch, just in case you're wondering. I know that's going to be the wedding of the century, but it's not happened just yet. Although I did notice that Poppy said she's Branch's girlfriend in this movie, which I don't recall her saying before. I might be wrong, but I was like, oh, she's actually admitting it. I might be wrong. I can't remember quite 100% if that's been said before, but, you know, there you go. I mean, the cartoon Trolls, does it matter? So it started with a wedding. I'm not going to tell you who's getting married. You know, leave some surprises. Could probably work it out though. The wedding's happening. The wedding gets crashed by one of Branch's brothers, and we have seen a flashback before that point of Branch with his brothers when he was younger in a band. And the brother just turns up and says, "Oh, I got this mysterious letter." We find out later on where the letter comes from. Not a huge leap in logic in that one, but from there onwards, It's like they just move on to each section of the movie, but there's no explanation as to how they're getting there. Oh, there is, but it's not satisfactory. Like they mentioned in passing that, wouldn't it be funny if, Poppy mentions in passing, oh, I wish I had a sister. And then halfway through the movie, she suddenly got a sister. Again, it explains where the sister comes from, but it is very much a quick footnote of, your dad was running away once and I got stuck behind some rocks. And so I never bothered to look for you, and your dad never bothered to mention me to you. Like, it makes no sense. Like, not, there's so many questions that you have after the movie as to, you know, why do these trolls, and he'll say people, I suppose the people, trolls are people too. Why do these trolls not ask any questions about what's going on around them? Anyway, that infuriated me throughout the film. I'm not going to lie, it really did. But it was enjoyable. Of course, the only reason you watch the Trolls movies are for the songs. The songs were okay. There were no, you know, standout breakaway pop hits, but they were mediocre at best, but not terrible. It was good to see NSYNC reunited on the stage as Trolls. That was quite good. Again, though, you know, that was just another leap in logic. The whole movie is about how Branch felt left behind by his brothers and didn't want to carry on with his music career, felt like he'd been abandoned. That was like the main plot line of the story, really. And then at the end, he says, you know, I'm here with my band and it's NSYNC. And you're like, but you've just said that you never wanted to do that again. You never made any more bands or anything like that. And sure enough, he then brings out the line, what, you didn't think yours was the only band that I was in, do you? Easy for me to say. The other big thing that we did this week was we went canoeing, which was great. I really enjoyed it. The kids kind of enjoyed it, said they wouldn't do it again, but they did. They did enjoy it while we were doing it. I just don't think it was something they would like to do on a regular basis. It was something that just came up at the last minute. They have been asking about canoeing actually for a very long time, but it's not something that I've ever wanted to do really. However, I saw a post on Facebook by a local play centre who was organising an away day sort of thing. Well, say away day, it was a couple of hours of a canoeing trip. So we thought, let's sign up for that. And we went on it. It's a thing where they do like dads and kids go out together. It's a really good idea, actually. If you do all kinds of things, it's good to see. I'll leave a link in the the show notes for the place that we went and hired the canoes from, because they were really nice people. It's a good place to go and try out. It's just along the Bridgewater Canal in Sale near Manchester. So if you're in the area, head over there. They put us in a three-person boat because there were three of us. It would have been odd otherwise. I was at the back. So my job was to use my oar to essentially, you paddle at the back of the boat, left and right, to steer, while at the same time paddling forwards as well. So I'd do like three paddles forwards and then one to steer and course correct us, which was quite difficult. But once you get used to it, it's all right. You had to learn how the others were paddling, which brings us to the difficult part of it all. So in the middle was the girl and at the front was the boy. And it went pretty much as I expected it would have gone, really. They are two very different children. The boy is very calm, relaxed, and just, honestly, he just goes with the flow. It's very rare that anything phases him. He's just generally a cool kid. Girl, on the other hand, is like a whirlwind inside of a fire that's on top of a dumpster fire that's in a whirlpool in a tumble dryer that's just exploded. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good description, actually. And it's a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong. She's one of the most creative people I've ever met. She's one of the most loving people I've ever met. But she's an absolute whirlwind of disaster wherever she goes. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a not so good way. And so they're in the boat. We teach them how to paddle. Boy's at the front and he's just paddling away nice and gently in a nice, smooth rhythm. And he's going, one, two, three, one, two, three, as he paddles this boat along. And he's no idea what's going on behind him at all, because all he can see is in front of him. He's probably terrified to turn around because he didn't move the entire time we were on the boat. He looked very relaxed, but he didn't turn his head. He didn't do anything. So he was probably a bit scared to turn around because there was very little in front of him. And I can imagine that he would have been a bit frightened to have fallen in. He never said, though, because like I said, cool as a cucumber. However, in the middle of the boat is the girl who she seemed to think that the best way to get the boat to move was to attack the water with her paddle. So instead of paddling nice and gently, she would lean as far forward as she could, smash her paddle into the water and then pull it as far back as she could. So that essentially what she was doing, instead of just paddling, she was scooping up the water and throwing it back at me in my face. And I was soaked by the end of it, like drenched. When we got back to the, I can't remember what it was called. Like I said, I'll find a link and put it in. When we got back to the, it was something adventure. I think it was Grip Adventure. When we got back there anyway, the guy who put us in the boat looked at me and he said, "Did you fall in?" Like, no, I didn't fall in. It's just that she felt the need to splash me every second. He's like, "How do you manage to splash while paddling a boat?" And so I got her to demonstrate and he went, "Oh yeah, yep, yeah, that'd do it. Yeah." So yeah, I got soaked. I drank a lot of canal water. It was awful. Because obviously I'm trying to say, please stop splashing me whilst getting splashed. So there's water going in my face. I'm trying to get her to understand how to do it nice and slowly. But no, she did feel like she had to attack the water. I remember saying to my wife afterwards that she had well and truly killed the Bridgewater Canal. It is officially dead now. She attacked it so hard. But that said, really, really great day. We did have fun. I managed to take one picture of us on the boat. I'll post it on the website so you can see us on the boat. I'll somehow cut the kids' faces out of it. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. But if the picture looks weird, it's because I've cut the faces out. All right. So yeah, it was great fun. I would absolutely love to do it again. I think I could probably get boy to do it again. I don't know if I could get girl to do it again. In fact, the first thing she said when she got off the canoe is, "I don't ever want to do that again." But she faced her fear, which is not like her. She is very much one of those children that's, I wouldn't say afraid of everything, but she doesn't like trying new things. And we have to, like, if I'd have taken her without telling her a few days before that we were going to go and do it, she wouldn't have done it. She would have had an absolute meltdown. She's like that at the fair. If we take her to a fairground, she won't go on any of the rides. She is more than happy to sit at the side and watch everybody else have fun, but she won't go on the fairground rides. Unless we've set her up for it a few days before, we've told her that we're going to it, we've shown her examples of the type of rides that are going to be there, and you can hear her muttering to herself under her breath throughout the week and acting out to herself the kind of how she's going to behave while she's on the rides and how she's going to get through the ride. And you can see she's imagining it in her head on what it's going to be like. So yeah, she really has to prepare. She really has to prepare for most things that she encounters. So I don't regret at all telling her that she was going to be going on it earlier on in the week, because I don't think she would have done it otherwise. And the good news is she did it. She tried it. She was really proud of herself at the fact that she actually gave her a try. So well done, girl. We also this week went to a pumpkin patch. I think I mentioned it last week that we were going to do it. In fact, I know full well that I mentioned it last week because it was my gripe of the week was the way the website was made. And I actually have follow-up on that. We'll get to that in a minute or two. The pumpkin patch, however, was pretty amazing. I've got to admit, I've never in my life been to a pumpkin patch. It wasn't a thing that we did when I was a child. I don't think it's a thing that's been done in the UK for that long, really. It's like, this is the first year I really know of people talking about doing it more often. And I don't remember it like in previous years. I would have thought with small children, it's something I would have heard more. But then again, who knows? Maybe I'm sheltered from it. It was a good experience. I would recommend doing it. But however, if it was just a pumpkin patch on its own, it was absolutely not worth the money that we paid for it. Again, went through that last week. It was £15 each to get in to the farm, and then £6 per pumpkin. We got two pumpkins. Last week, there was some confusion over in what order you paid for it or what order you, what was it now? In the order in which you book the events. For example, I nearly bought the pumpkin patch for the same time as the entrance to the farm, which would have meant that I wouldn't have been able to do the pumpkin patch at the same time as the farm. And then I said pumpkin then. Should have left that in. Well, I did leave it in, but I should have said it. It turned out I got there and you didn't at all have to go in the farm to do the pumpkin patch. Completely misinformed about that. I mean, we would have done anyway, so I'm not like annoyed at that, but there were quite a few people there that, as you're walking around, you're talking to them, they were saying, I wish I had have just come and done the pumpkin patch. We come to the farm quite often, didn't really want to do the farm, just wanted to do the pumpkin patch, which is understandable because that's really the purpose why people were going. Yeah, they set up like a makeshift entrance to the whole place. Big orange tent outside. You could just go up to the tent, pay for your pumpkin, and then walk down to the pumpkin patch. But no mention of that whatsoever on the website. Anyway, like I say, it wasn't really a problem for us because we wanted to go to the farm, or I wanted to go to the farm. I didn't actually tell them about this before we went. They'd been asking to go to a pumpkin patch. I didn't think this would be a big issue. It's not the kind of thing that the girl would have a meltdown over because she doesn't have to do anything necessarily. It's not like she's going on a ride or she's got to speak in front of people or anything like that. So it would have been fine. And it was fine. It was absolutely fine. We went into the park, not the park. We went into the farm and it was a farm. It was exactly as expected. They had all kinds of animals. They've added a reptile section, which is really, really good. In fact, the reptile section was fantastic. That's not been there previous times we've been there, so I would recommend going just for that. The place itself is called Smithfield's Farm, so I'll add a link to the place on the show notes. It's worth having a look at. It's a lot of fun. It's a really good farm. It's like the fourth time, I think, that we've been now over the years. It's really good. They have I think they actually call it a pet's corner, but it's not quite a pet's corner because they bring like emus out and things like that. But you basically sit on hay bales in a circle or a square, actually. You sit on hay bales in a big square and they bring all the different animals that they have on the farm around for people to stroke or to look at. And it's really, really good. I'm trying to think what they brought around though. They brought an owl around. They brought a goat. They brought an emu. You got to hold some baby chicks, some baby bunny rabbits, a baby guinea pigs. I mean, the guinea pigs might not have been babies, actually. They were just guinea pigs. I can't think what else. I'm sure there were other animals that came around as well. But it's good because they give you some facts about the animals, just like they do when you go to the zoo. And it's fun for the children to have a cuddle with the animals. Of course, girl didn't want to, but that's fine. She was happy watching them go around and she was happy watching other people with them. She has a little rabbit of her own, so she was telling the other children all about her rabbit. It was nice. Something that I did actually want to mention last week, I just didn't have the time last week. Like I said last week, wasn't planning on making a show. DALL-E 3 finally been released. It's available, it's available in Bing. So if you use Bing, you can use DALL-E 3 to... I think I'm saying that right. I don't know if it's DALL-E or DALL-E or I don't know. I seem to change the way I say it depending on who I'm talking to, weirdly. It's been in Bing for a few weeks now. The version in Bing is all right. I've experimented with the version in Bing and the official release via OpenAI, and it is better if you use it through ChatGPT, because the point of it is that it takes the things that you type into ChatGPT and turns them into prompts for an image generator and then generates your image. What is really, really good about it, and this is the reason why I like it so much, is I was able to say to it, create me a character called B. B is a bumblebee. He's cute. He's a podcaster, so he needs to be wearing headphones. And... he likes to wear sneakers. I can't remember the exact prompt that I made, but that's somewhere along those lines. And it generated this character. And that's all it generated, the character. Nothing else, no background, anything else. And then I said, I would like to use B in different scenarios. Can I give you the different scenarios in each prompt and you create an image featuring B in those scenarios? And it did exactly that. It's brilliant. It said, yes, I'll remember B from now on. Whenever you want me to use B in an image, just type use B. And that's what I did. Album artwork that was generated last week and the week before, if I remember rightly, was actually made using DALL-E 3. And what I was able to do is instead of having to describe everything that I want in the image, I'd just say, put B in a scenario where he sat in the living room relaxing, playing on his Nintendo Switch, whilst the kids play happily at the side of him. And it drew me a picture of that. And I was like, yeah, it looks a little bit too calm. So I said, can you add some random acts of destruction around me that the kids have made to make it a little bit more messy? And it did. It put like spilt drinks on the side of the floor. Go look at the pictures. You'll see what it created. It was amazing. So I've experimented in a few different ways. I've gone back some of the previous episodes and I've asked it to create some album artwork for those episodes. I'm not going to re-upload anything. Everything's going to stay the same as it was. I kind of like the idea of it being an archive of how it changed once I started using DALL-E 3. But yeah, from now on, all of the generated artwork is going to be generated using DALL-E 3, unless obviously something better comes out. I will happily move. I'm not married to DALL-E 3 or anything like that, but I do think out of all of the image generators that I've used, it's the one that suits my needs the best. If you want to try it out for yourself, you can do. It's actually available. It's part of ChatGPT. It's the same people. It's OpenAI who create both. The only drawback at the moment is that DALL-E 3 in ChatGPT, it's really hard to say, it's only available to people that pay for it. So you do have to pay the monthly subscription to get access to ChatGPT 4, I think it's 4.5 and it's on now. And DALL-E 3 is included in that. You can even use it in the app. It will always generate 4 images. You can even ask it to make a bigger image, all kinds of stuff. It's really, really good. It's for someone like me who uses it at least every week, but I use it for other things other than this podcast as well. It's well worth the money. It's £20 a month. I think it's actually £19 a month that I pay for it, but it is well worth the money. I would recommend anybody that wants to play around with stuff like that to use it. And it gives you a nice little insight into the ways that AI is actually useful in the real world, not necessarily how I know I did an episode on it a few weeks back. I'm not going to dwell on it, but you know, the way the media portray AI is this thing that's going to take over the world, and you know, it does all kinds of these terrible things. It gives you an idea of how you can actually use it to do something you would never be able to do. I would never be able to create these images at all in a million years. But now, thanks to the power of API, ChatGPT, DALL-E 3, I can do it quite easily. And I can do it on my phone. I could just pop my phone out and start generating images. I no longer have to go on a website, type in prompts, then when that prompt doesn't get the image I want, then go and rewrite that prompt. I can just say, make these changes. So much better. So yeah, again, I'll leave another link to that in the show notes as well. And then you can try it out for yourself. I've got another AI question for you this week. This is, they're all interesting ones, but this is one. I actually generated this question about 4 days ago because I wanted to see if having some time to think about the question helped me give a better, more fleshed out answer, because I do sometimes, almost every time, about an hour after I finish recording the podcast and upload it, well, even after recording, I often go, oh, I should have said this, because it's just popped into my head and it's a much better answer and it's definitely what I'd do. So I generated the question a bit earlier this time, which I think I might start doing each week. We'll see. I keep saying this and then I never do it. But I do want to be able to have a bit more time to think about the answer to the question. But at the same time, as I've said before, I really like the spontaneity of the question. That said, I wish I had more time with this one, because I've honestly not been able to come up with a proper answer to it. I have, however, got an answer. I'll never not have an answer. But yeah, so the question is, if an alien species were to visit Earth and you were chosen as the ambassador to greet them, what 3 things or experiences would you introduce them to best represent humanity? Now, the first thing that popped into my head, I can't say because this is a clean podcast, so use your imaginations there as to what it could be. It's probably the first thing that popped into most people's heads. However, does that represent the best in humanity? I don't know. That's for you to decide. The things that I came up with, and they're not the best answers. I will probably think of better answers later on down the line, which brings me to something else that I'll mention in a few moments. Item number 1, please don't judge me, is sandwiches, because they're the best food, other than some desserts, obviously. At first I was going to put donuts, but actually, are donuts really that great? They're great in the moment, but they're not for nothing special. It's just dough with icing on it, really. But a sandwich can be anything you want it to be. Like, there are no limits to what you can put on a sandwich, right? You can have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, that's a dessert, really, when you think about it. But no, we will happily eat that as a lunch, right? You can put crisps on a sandwich. Weird way to name them. I don't know why we name them these, but you could put vegan meats on a sandwich. Things that are meat substitutes is what I'm trying to say. You could put anything on a sandwich. Like, it's literally, it's amazing for anyone. Unless you don't like bread, I suppose. But, you know, what is a sandwich? Is it not just things in between things? It doesn't have to be bread, I suppose. If you have, I don't know, a slice of ham on the top and a slice of ham on the bottom and salad in between, is that a sandwich? It's sandwiched in between. Does it represent the best of humanity? I think it represents the best of food for humanity. And one of the things that we want to show these alien visitors is how we eat. Because if they kidnap us, or if they take us in a friendly way to their homeworld, they're going to need to know how to provide us with nourishment, assuming they don't eat in the same way. You know, the chances are really, if there are alien life forms out there, they're probably quite similar to us. Who knows? I'm not an expert in that. The other two are very similar, and they are really just cop-outs of an answer, I think, really. But it is honestly all I could think of. Like, I couldn't think of anything that demonstrates the best of humanity other than emotions. How do you show an emotion? I know how you show an emotion, but how do you show it to a complete stranger that's an alien? The best way is through something that humans are great at creating, and that's entertainment. So the second two, I'm going to put them together. I'm not going to do them separately. Music and movies. They are the two things that will garner an emotional response when either listening or watching, or doing both, I suppose, because they do go together really well as well. So music and movies are my other answer to that. So sandwiches, music and movies are the three things that I would show an alien to demonstrate the best of humanity. I'd love to know your thoughts on this one. Go to thatsafreebie.com. Click on the title of the episode and leave your comments in the comment field there, or send me a message on X. I will eventually get used to saying X, I promise. Mastodon, Instagram, or Threads. I am That's a Freebie on all of those things. And the other thing to don't forget is leave a review for the podcast on your podcast player of choice. And don't forget to tell a friend about the podcast as well. Tell as many people as you can, spread the word, and we'll get more freebies to join us. And it wouldn't be an episode of That's a Freebie without a gripe of the week. That this week's gripe of the week, I'm sure, will resonate with quite a few people. Hang on 1 second, just need a drink of water. I've had a cough for quite a few weeks now, and I have actually found that if I drink water whilst recording the podcast, it helps the cough. You might notice sometimes if I've edited the cough out, I'll start going just before at the end of a sentence, and it's because I've just started coughing, but I didn't think to re-record as I was doing it, so I had to just leave the weird sounds in. But yeah, this week's gripe of the week is Sunday shoppers. Now, I have no problem with people shopping on a Sunday. I understand for those people that don't work in retail, that have a regular 9-to-5 job, work during the week, and are off on Saturday and Sunday. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I would implore people to try and do all their shopping on a Saturday, but I know that's not possible. And again, like I said, don't mind people shopping on a Sunday, you know, keeps me in a job. It's great. However, there is a certain type of Sunday shopper that, I will not lie, irritates me to no end, right? And it's the people that don't seem to understand how Sundays work. There are laws in the UK about the number of hours that you're allowed to open on a Sunday. Contrary to popular belief, it's not the times that you're allowed to open on a Sunday. It's the number of hours you're allowed to open on a Sunday. I think there are times in there as well. But it's not, for example, you don't have to be open between, I don't know, 11 and 5. You can do 11 and 5, half 11, half 5, 6 till 7, all kinds of stuff like that. There's different combinations. And There are, like I said, I don't know the law off the top of my head. I'm not going to look it up because I don't need to. It's fine. And I just know that there are trading laws in that respect. But that's not really the gripe. The gripe is more that people just don't seem to understand this. So on a Sunday, the way my transport works is I get into town, into Manchester, an hour before I'm due to start work. And it's like that most days, actually. And I don't mind that. I like going having a wander around. It's a great way to get some extra exercise in for the day. I go for a walk. I try and have a brisk walk for 20 minutes and then I'll go and sit down somewhere, maybe have a cup of coffee or do it the opposite way. I tend to not do it the opposite way because then I'm all warm, out of breath and sweaty when I get to work and no one wants that. So I tend to get there early, go for a walk, then go sit down and have a coffee. If I've not had time at home, I'll have breakfast in town, something like that, if there's anywhere open that does. But there are people stood. So, you know, there are a lot of shops in Manchester. There are shopping centres in Manchester, let's say. And there is a shopping centre in Manchester that doesn't open till 11:30. It's called the Arndale Centre. It's not open till 11:30 for years, like 20, 30 years, like a very, very long time. It's not opened until 11:30. You can't go in there until 11:30. The signs on the door say 11:30. I'm walking past it at 10 o'clock in the morning and there's people queuing up outside, looking at their watches, tutting and shaking their heads and going, ugh, when's it going to open? It's unbelievable. Like, just read the sign. Don't go out so early on a Sunday morning. More to the point, when you do go out that early, realise it's your fault. Like, you could have looked it up. You could have gone online. You could have checked the opening times of each individual shop you want to go to. Because here's the kicker. Not every shop opens at the same time inside these shopping centres. Some of them open a bit later. And then, when you do finally get into said shopping centres, don't complain. Like, the number of people that walk in, I hear it as I'm walking past places. They walk in and go, why don't you open till 11:30? What's going on? Like, and the response is always, it's a Sunday. It's always been this way on a Sunday. And people queue outside shops, like, to complain about something or to just go in and buy, like, a bag of crisps. It baffles me. Like, again, nothing wrong with Sunday shoppers. I don't mind it, but you don't have to queue up outside the shopping centre an hour before it's due to open to make sure you get in. It doesn't matter how busy it is, you're getting in. Like, at Christmas, I can understand it a little bit more because you want to make sure you get there before something sells out. But we're talking every Sunday of the year at this point. I've always found it amazing that people don't understand how Sundays work and the complaints that you hear because something isn't open until 11:30. People who work in shops have lives too. End of gripe. Carrying on the tradition of having a pick of the week, I have another one for you this week. And this week's pick of the week is the game Resident Evil Village. I've mentioned Resident Evil in quite a few episodes of this podcast, bizarrely, because I have I've been watching playthroughs of it on YouTube. And, well, of it, of them. There are, well, 8 main story games, and then there's a few like side games, and then there's the remakes and all that kind of stuff. But I've been watching the playthroughs of them. Weirdly, this is the one I started with when it first came out. I started with 8, and then it reminded me of how much I enjoyed 2, which is the one that I played years ago. And then I went back and went through all the games again. So 8 is my pick for 2 reasons. One, because it's the sort of the one that started me on the journey of revisiting Resident Evil, but also it was released on the iPhone, of all things, just a few days ago. And I thought I would bring that to everybody's attention. Now, it does only work if you've got an iPhone 15 Pro. The video capabilities of that phone are able to actually play the game. And I was skeptical because, you know, it's a AAA game on a phone, right? So how good could it possibly be? Well, it's free to download. So go and download it and see for yourself. But honestly, all right, it's a small screen. I've got an iPhone 15 Pro Max. So it's the biggest screen you can get for an iPhone, but it's obviously much smaller than, you know, your average TV screen or your 4K video games console. But it looked as good as it does on the PS5 from the playthroughs that I've seen. It was amazing. The only thing, well, there's a couple of things that annoyed me about it, and this actually was going to be my gripe of the week, that I was so excited to play it but then couldn't for several reasons, but I changed my mind because I really wanted to talk about Sunday shoppers. And also, it makes a really good pick of the week. So you download the game. I was curious as to the size of the file. It's 1.53 gigabytes, which isn't actually that bad. I thought, that doesn't sound right, it must be bigger than that, but nope, 1.53 gigabytes. Downloaded it to my phone, press, tap the app to open it, and an additional download is required of 7.53, I think it was, gigabytes. I was like, why? At least say this in the description, you know, it's that same old thing. Give us the information up front. I downloaded at a time where I had time to play it. By the time it had finished downloading, I no longer had enough time to play it because I had other things I needed to do. It was a bit frustrating. That said, I had a spare 10 minutes. So I thought, well, let's give it a go, because one of the things it does say is that it's got touchscreen controls. Now, I was skeptical of this anyway, touchscreen controls for games that are not touch-based, you know, that don't require swiping or tapping, are not usually very good anyway. They're just a means to get you through until you can get a controller connected. And sure enough, like, all the controls are on the screen. There is literally a button for everything. So it maps out a controller on the screen, but it's really, really difficult to play it with the on-screen controls. I imagine if you tried long enough, you would probably get used to the controls, but I just found that they weren't responsive enough. The movement buttons, the two joystick buttons, were too low down. Now, I did notice it said in the settings you can move them about. I just haven't had time to try that yet, so I might give that a go, because if I could find a way of playing it with touchscreen controls, that would be good, because I can play it wherever I want then. That said, as always, with any game like that, you connect to your controller, or you could even connect to keyboard and mouse, I suppose. I've not actually done that on a phone. I know it works on an iPad. I would assume it works on a phone as well. Only one way to find out. But with a controller, I imagine it would have been a better experience. That said, I played through, like, most of the intro. I got to a point where I was surrounded in a house, and I basically died. I just couldn't move the cursor quick enough to be able to actually shoot at an enemy that was attacking me, or to turn around to see where the enemy was, for that matter. But it was amazing. The bit that I got to play was amazing. It's free to play. It does require a purchase once you get so far into it. I haven't reached that spot yet, so I can't tell you where that is, but it's definitely worth downloading and trying it just to see what the game is like. That is the reason I got a pro version of the phone in the first place. I wasn't going to this year, but the fact that the GPU is able to play games like that sort of sold me over and made me say, yeah, go on then, I'll get a pro, because that's what I want to do. I'm really looking forward to the remake of Resident Evil 4, because that's being released later in the year. It currently says on the App Store, actually, the 31st of December, but it does say it's a placeholder, so it might be before then, who knows. But yeah, definitely worth trying. Just expect a long download time. Oh, and the only other thing to notice, and this didn't surprise me at all, to be truthful, and it shouldn't really surprise anybody, but it's worth mentioning it. It does absolutely rinse your battery. I start the day at 6 a.m., unplug my phone. By about 9 o'clock at night when I'm getting home from work, my battery's down to about 60%, which is actually amazing. That's the best battery life I've ever had on a phone. It's a 15 Pro Max, so it's a larger screen. It means larger battery. Yes, some of that battery goes towards powering that bigger screen, but you do get more battery life on it anyway. It's amazing. I am actually having to try and find ways of draining the battery throughout the course of the day, just to make sure that I'm managing the battery health correctly. But that's a story for a different day. I played Resident Evil Village for about, I think it was like 10 minutes at the most. It might have even been less than that. And my battery still will have been quite high at this point, because it was early in the day. And after I closed the application and I'd finished playing, my battery was down to 30%. That's my pick of the week. I would implore you to download it and try it, obviously, if you're the correct age to do so. Finally, I've got one last story to tell you. Quite an unusual one, actually, this week. I'm not usually one who gets into the whole fancy dress thing for Halloween or anything like that. It's just never been my thing, really. I don't mind Halloween per se. I don't know, never been one to dress up, go to parties, that kind of stuff. Just not my style. But this year, I thought that I would. So there's a shop in Manchester that does fancy dress. Quite a popular shop, actually. There was a queue to get in. In fact, there was a long queue to get in. Now that I think about it, it goes round after the shopping centre. So 20 minutes of waiting, which I suppose isn't that bad. I went in and there's signs everywhere in the shop, like, you know, do not open the packages, don't take photographs, all kinds of stuff. Like, basically, you kind of have to walk in with your hands behind your back and just look at things and don't touch anything until you want to buy it. I imagine it's a high theft shop. It is that kind of shop where everything's crammed in. You just can't actually, like, find anything just because there's so much stuff there. It wasn't a great experience, actually. But anyway, I'm in the shop. I kind of shuffles my way around it. It's busy, not very fun. to be in. So in the end, I just decided to leave. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I was right. It's not for me. I don't need to dress up. So I left. Anyway, as I was leaving the shop, I felt a hand on my shoulder, which, you know, pretty weird. It's not something that happens very often. I turned around and it's a security guard. He said, "Will you come with me?" So like, I've not done anything. And he went, "Just come with me." And then there's another one who's appeared in front of, not behind me, but at the front of the shop. So I was like, okay. So I followed him and they took me out back, into like a corridor. In between, I don't know really, it was like in between the shop and the rest of the mall. It was strange. So anyway, I'm in this corridor and the guy says to me, just hang tight. The police are on the way. So like, what do you mean the police are on the way? What's prompted you to call the police? And he just kept smirking at me. And it was weird. He just wouldn't answer me. So a few times I was like, no, you can't hold me here without telling me why you're holding me. And he said, I think you know why we're holding you. Stop being, what's the word he used? He just said, stop trying to play dumb. So I was like, I'm not playing dumb. So anyway, in my head, I was like, you know what? Fine. Once the police get here, they'll probably empty my pockets. They'll see that I've got nothing. Problem solved. It don't make them look stupid. Then weirdly, I started getting dead paranoid that what if I have got something and I didn't realise? You know, what if I picked something up and I've just had it in my hand and I've put my hands in my pocket or something like that? But I don't remember doing it. Anyway, I checked. I rummaged my hands through my pockets and I could see him watching me and he's smiling and smirking. And I was like, I was honest. I said, look, I'm just checking to make sure I've not accidentally picked something up and forgotten about it and put it in my pocket. I was like, it's not the kind of thing I do, but you never know. Absentmindedly, I was feeling overwhelmed in the shop, you know, that kind of stuff. I might have actually had something small in my hand, not realised and thought it was my phone and just put my hands in my pocket. Anyway, sure enough, there was nothing in there that I didn't expect to be in there. And then the police finally turned up. I saw them coming. It took about an hour. I could see them through, there's like a little window in the door. I could see them coming in. So I was like, cool, this is going to be sorted now. They walked in and they said, so what's going on? And the security guard said, well, obviously he's been shoplifting. You know, we apprehended him so that you can take his details. Just, we'll leave it to you from this point. So I was like, what do you mean? Obviously I've been shoplifting. Like, what makes you think I've been shoplifting? And he said, come on. Like, you're the one being ridiculous now. I was like, why am I being ridiculous? What about me makes you think I've been shoplifting? Started emptying my pockets out. And he goes, it's not your pockets, is it, mate? I was like, well, what is it then? He went, well, obviously, you've tried to walk out in a sexy dad outfit.